and Christian greetings to each one this morning. Certainly appreciated that song, especially as we're here this morning. It says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. And then in our Sunday school lesson, someone brought out how the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount was closed, and how the ones that heard it said he didn't speak like the scribes and the Pharisees, but he spoke with authority. And I'm thankful today that when God's presence is near, that there is that divine authority that gives us what we stand in need of. I'd like to look over into Isaiah, if you'd want to turn with me over to the 40th chapter. Isaiah, the 40th chapter. And I'd like to ask the question to you this morning, how great and powerful is your God? The God that you serve, the God that I serve, how great is he? How powerful is he? Before we start here, let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts this morning for the privilege of gathering together here, the people of God, to worship thee. We thank thee, Lord, for thy promise to be with us and to be near us, and that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou wilt be there. And we're thankful that our faith is in thee. Our faith is in God through the precious blood of Jesus that's made the way of access from us to thee. We pray that thou wilt speak to our hearts and help us to see the greatness of God, the power of God, the might of God, and help us to realize what thou hast done and what thou art able to do for each one of us today. Bless the word to our hearts, we pray, and we shall give thee all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Isaiah 40, and beginning with the first verse there. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. It's some of these scriptures especially stand out to you when you think, well, I've read that before. That's over in the New Testament. It's speaking about the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, John the Baptist, as he preached the way of repentance, preparing the way of the Lord. Verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now I'd like for you to make a little comparison here as we go down through this chapter. I'd like for us to see the greatness of God in a new way, that we can see the power of God and the greatness of God. And in another way, that we might see ourselves and the littleness of ourselves and the littleness of humanity, how little we are in ourselves. We are nothing. And just notice how this scripture brings out these things one after another. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. And notice here the encouragement that he makes to them is through the power of God. At first he talks about the littleness of humanity, how they're like the grass of the field, and the Lord bloweth upon it, and it withers, and the flower is a beautiful thing that sets out there, and yet it's pretty one day, and another day it's wilted and faded away, and its head, so to speak, droops down, and finally, if it's like up at the shop, I walking along behind the sign where there were flowers, and I saw, what is that back there? Oh, my wife has been pinching flowers that are wilted. She pinches them off somewhere or another, and I guess that makes the others come up. But these things were not, their prime of their beauty was past, and so they got pinched off, and back there they were, laying behind the sign. May the Lord help us that we can realize that our beauty only comes through Jesus, and our excellency, like Paul said, he didn't come in his excellency of speech and all those things, but he determined to know Christ and him crucified. Only Jesus was his great desire. So he says, be not afraid in verse 9. Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule with him. Behold, his reward is with him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and gather them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And I like for this, I think this is a wonderful encouragement to God's saints, to his people. The chapter started off with, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. And he's speaking to comfort the saints of God and to show them the power and the might of God that is for them through Jesus. And he says here that he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So right in the midst of the time that we're living in, and I firmly believe that we're in the last of the last days, and right when the scripture speaks about wars and rumors of wars all around us, and people are vehemently making great accusations and making great statements. I was mentioning that this morning down in the minister's room, how that the prime minister of Russia, how he said, stay out of my way, stay out of our way. We're nuclear. We're one of the strongest nuclear nations in the world. Don't bother with us, is what he said. And they say thousands of soldiers are pouring into the Ukraine. Hundreds of tanks are coming in there. Now, this could be troubling. It does bring thoughts to our mind, like what's going to happen? What's going to take place next? Like when one of the European leaders says, we've got to do something quickly. If we take care of this in a diplomatic way, it's going to have to be done quickly, because we're about to come to the place of no return. And at that point, it's going to be war, all out war. And you know, in the midst of all these things, the Lord says he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Right in the morning, when you kneel at by your bedside or wherever you are, driving down the road, going to work, you can lift your heart to the Lord. And in the midst of confusion, the song that they put out from the group down in Arkansas, all the confusion of the other things that are around us, There can be a deep peace down in the very depths of our soul that, by the grace of God, can come out through our lives and help others to realize, sort of like that little Moravian group that was riding on the big ship across the ocean, and the storm was on. I guess it was John Wesley that was afraid. The storm was on and he was scared. And he looked at these Moravian brethren and he said, "Aren't you afraid?" And they said, "We thank God, no." Their hands were in the Lord. Their lives were in the hands of the Lord. Humanly, it was impossible to not be afraid. But spiritually, because it was all given over to the Lord, their future was given over to the Lord, they were ready to leave this world. They could say, "Thank the Lord, no," they weren't afraid. And they said that he went over to be a missionary, John Wesley did, to the Indians, and found out that he wasn't even really a Christian himself. And as a result of that, was converted. Now I'd like for you to notice here, starting in verse 12, it just speaks of all these things. Some of these things sound terrific. I was reading just the other day, they talked about the bomb that they dropped on Hiroshima, or there were a couple of them that they dropped. The first one, they said, I think they said they called it the little boy. Anyway, they dropped that big bomb on that city. And just like that, 80,000 people went out to meet the Lord. And probably most of them unprepared. And just like that, most of the buildings, businesses, houses, and everything were just leveled flat. And just right after that, they dropped the other one on the other city. And there were 40,000 people went out to meet the Lord, just like that. It was over. And now they talk of all their great might and all the things that go along with it. And they say that one bomb that they have now, I forget how many of those ones back there that killed 80,000 people, that this one bomb would have. And it spoke of Russia's arsenal of nuclear warheads, something like 1,500 of them deployed and ready to shoot, and another 4,000 or 5,000 laid back there in case there's anything left after those 1,500. If something happens like that, there probably wouldn't be. But the power of sin and the power of the devil, many times the Lord allows people, if they are determined to go on their way, that it will actually destroy them. Sin and Satan and ungodliness. Let's just read now of the greatness of God. And this is something we can hardly comprehend. "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in the scales, and the hills in a balance?" How many of you have seen one of the oceans? Pacific, Atlantic, any of the different oceans? Okay, most of us have seen at least one of them. It's something just to stand on the shore. In one place we stood out there in Oregon and looked down as the mighty waves came in, and there was a rock formed there and a big hole in the rock. And the waves would come in and then you shoot out that hole in the rock. The terrific force of the water. And yet it says the Lord just holds those things right in his hands. Nothing. All the mighty waters, all the mighty storms, when they get out there on the ocean and the storm is on and the waves are going 15, 30 feet high and sometimes higher than that. I don't know how high this roof is. It might be, 20 foot? Probably not that high. But the waves going higher than that. I'd rather be back on the land. The waves like that, I don't want anything to do with it. But to the Lord, it's nothing. The power of God that controls this whole world and controls the very heartbeat of those men that think they have the power, they have the codes that they need to start a nuclear war. They are able to press the button that will send thousands of nuclear warheads up into the air. And yet God controls their heartbeat. He controls their breath. He controls their life. And in one moment, they can have no power whatsoever. It's in the hands of God, and we can trust in Him completely. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and whom instructed He, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? This always stood out to me as a boy, and I've thought of this a number of times. Behold, the nations are as a drop, and I'm not going to get a drop out of here. Brother Murray may want to take a drink in a moment. But if I would take a drop and just drop it down in there, all the nations in the world like a drop in the bucket. It's foolishness to try to resist God, the power of God, the might of God. And He looks down on this little motley group of thousands of soldiers out here, all with machine guns and heavy machine guns. And yet it's nothing to God. That little orb, that little planet Earth floating around with a lot of people with great threats, and He can just blot it out in a moment of time. The great universe hung in its place by the power of God and kept in its place by the power of God and the orderly power of God. It's just beyond our comprehension. And then He says, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. And you think, if this book would have dust on it, and it's all dusted and doesn't have a bit. But if there was dust on there, just as the dust that's on a balance, the small dust of a balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very small thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing in vanity. And it asked the question, to whom then will you liken God? And it brought to my attention even more so some time back there was a rainstorm going on out at our house, and there was some lightning around, cracking and popping. My wife, she likes to talk about, likes to get out and watch the lightning, and I like to watch it out the window, or I like to watch it in a place where I feel like I'm safe. When I was on the tractor, driving a tractor, mowing hay out on my uncle's ranch one day, it came up a storm real fast, and it was a thunderstorm, and there was plenty of lightning in it. And I dropped that hay bine, dropped it off, and I had that little international tractor, and I cranked that thing up, and around the road I went, and his roads were pretty good, and I got her into fourth and pulled the throttle down, and away I went for the next building, and it was popping and cracking all around. I didn't aim to stay out there and look up at the sky, and, you know, it was pretty, but it's prettier when I was in the building looking out and feeling much more safe than being out there on that tractor trying to cut hay. And I was out in a yard here one day, and I thought, well, I feel safe. I'm standing here on the porch, and I was enjoying the rain and all that went with it. And all of a sudden, a mighty crack, and I think it hit right over at the corner of the yard. And I believe it was this time it hit our phone, ran right straight across about where I was, and inside, and one time or the other, it blew things apart, just blew them out of the wall. Stuff was laying on the floor. I mean to tell you, it didn't take me any time to get back in the house. And I had even a greater respect for the mighty power of God. God is over everything. But for His mercy, that bolt of lightning that hit out there in the yard and went right past me and blowed things apart in the house could have hit me, and I could have gone into eternity just like that. May the Lord help us to realize the power of God and the littleness of our own selves. But through Christ, He's our sufficiency, and we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Praise the Lord. Let's kneel in prayer.